locusts or stink bugs occur?
There are doers and there are excuse makers. I didn't know what was going on. I saw the screen up there go multiple slides. I don't think Emma could find where you were at or whoever the clicker was. Yeah. Yeah, she was singing the wrong lyrics. It's a stink bug. So one of them's probably going to land on my head and cling to the scalp, not the hair, here in just a moment. I knew something was going on. I didn't know. And then I heard people stop singing, and I'm like, what is happening here? It is the... What is fascinating about Sundays, coming from a pastor's family, is there are some Sundays where nothing is going right. This morning it started, we didn't have the PowerPoint on the laptop because Donna's been out this week. And Jerry goes, have you got the PowerPoint? And I said, oh, staff member, that's not my job. And so we had that. We were just discombobulated, and we still are. Here's something else. There are two thermostats, one behind that bleacher and one behind you, Eric. If people are hot, feel free. You're not hot? Okay, I'm burning down. I must have too much fat. I am literally roasting. Jerry's red in the face. The stink bug has flustered her. But you do what you got to do. To keep comfortable, I'm getting in to the sermon. Please note that Donna will probably not be in this week as well. Her husband has had surgery. He has not been doing well. She is working from home, so she's available if you need to call, do something. But just know that's the state of things at the moment. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Of course, this morning... One of my deacons who is always just so encouraging says, I told you you couldn't do your job without Donna. And I was like, thank you, brother. What is church membership part two? Now, this is going to be something that is going to be greatly encouraging to you. My Sunday school class said, can they leave halfway through? Because I preach long sermons. If I come out of my study, which I did last night, and look at my family and say, this one is brutal. All right, I hope you've got snacks, stale pretzels, and purses. I don't know. If not, track, you know, we might need to get the deacons to ship some in. I don't know, but just get ready. Hopefully you find this challenging and informative, and I will try to keep it under, you know, what I timed it as last night. Last week, we started this sermon series. The background passage is Matthew 16, 13 through 20. This is something different for me. I am not getting in depth into that passage. I'm using it as a launching pad to discuss this topic of church membership. I hope last week we came to an agreement that even though those words church membership are not used in Scripture, that it is biblical, based upon the text that I shared with you, just as we believe in the Trinity, even though that word is not used, we use that word to describe what has been revealed to us in Scripture, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Same way with church membership. Clearly, there were boundaries to the church as we looked at those passages of Scripture of who was inside the church and who was outside of the church. So today, what I want to do is to continue this discussion, and what I'm going to do is ask you two questions, and I am going to answer those questions. Why join a church? What are the responsibilities of a church member? Let us stand and read our background passage, Matthew 16, in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Before you are seated, we said last week that to join a church, you are to be regenerate. That means saved. That means born again. The reason I'm using this passage as a background passage is Jesus is asking the question, who do people say that I am? And only Simon Peter says, what? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God says, Peter, I'm going to build my church upon you. He is the leader of the apostles, and I'm going to build it upon that testimony that you just gave. That is why I'm using this passage of Scripture. You may be seated. Just so you have some understanding of why that is our background passage. And then Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. So let us ask the first question. Why join a church? Some of you are saying, Pastor, why indeed? Churches are messy. There is no perfect church, even though people hold that standard to the church. Believers in the church, unbelievers outside of the church, hold this perfect standard of what the church is to be. But I am telling you, that is a false narrative. The church is messy because we are sinners saved by the grace of God. Why join a church? The first point is accountability. You need to be accountable to God and to each other. Our God is a relational God, and He is relational in His relationship with creation, His relationship with us. He is not a God who creates and then removes Himself from His creation. He is, yes, transcendent, but He is also personal. He has a personal relationship with us. We could see in the Garden of Eden that He walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He is a personal, relational God, and He has created us in His image. All of humanity have been created in the image of God. Therefore, we are not to live life in isolation. And when it comes to being a believer, especially, we cannot be isolationists because the devil prowls around seeking someone to devour. And the one who is not with the pack, who's in the back of the pack or not with the pack at all, is easy prey for a predator. The Bible says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. John MacArthur in his study Bible says he and his forces are always active, looking for opportunities to overwhelm the believer with temptation, persecution, and discouragement. Satan sows discord, accuses God to men to God, and men to men. He will do what he can to drag the Christian out of fellowship with Christ and out of Christian service. As I said to the Sunday school class, living as a lone ranger puts you in danger spiritually. We think of ourselves as independent beings. We have this philosophy of individualism as it comes to achieving the American dream or being an American citizen. But I am telling you, we are not independent beings. We are dependent beings. The Bible says that Jesus is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Well, guess what? He's holding you together. You are dependent upon Him. He is holding your life together. At the snap of His finger, you can no longer exist. Accountability means that you are answerable to another person. You need to understand who your authority is. That is God Himself. And then in living the Christian life, you need to be accountable for how you are being a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is a foreign concept to the world, a foreign concept to the church. I said to the church, or to the Sunday school class this morning, many people just come, they attend, they listen to my sermon barely or get through it and say, I've tolerated, then I'm going to go out to lunch and it's been a good Lord's day. I don't want to build relationships with those in the church. Well, that is a misnomer. That's a misunderstanding by you, because I'm going to talk about here in just a moment that the church is a corporate entity or being, meaning that we are to be together as a group, walking and serving the Lord together. But we see in James, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Is that not accountability? Now, how many of us want to come in and talk to someone here that we trust and confess our sins to them? But do you know that it is essential for spiritual growth? Accountability carries with it the initiative to know people and to be known by people. I think I may have used this illustration recently, and you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to admit it, but you do remember the show Cheers, right? You know the song to Cheers, the sitcom, you know, where everybody knows your name? It's a shame that we could walk into a bar and everybody knows their name, but we walk into church and we know no one. People are looking for a relationship. I think COVID has taught us that we are not made for isolationism. Edification, the second reason you join a church, it means to build or establish, to be built up or building up. We are a spiritual house being built or established by God. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The early church in the book of Acts was on the move, was on the go, breaking down social and economic barriers and ethnic barriers to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Acts 9:31 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. That word built up is actually the word for edify or edification. Worship of God is edifying. Did you know that? Worship of God should be edifying. It should be edifying to you. It should be edifying to God in the sense of magnifying Him. God ministers to us in worship. As we worship Him, He ministers to us. God's grace meets our needs in worship. Do you believe that? The public gathering together of the saints, God's grace meets us in worship. He meets our needs in worship. We are blessed by God, and He is blessed by us. That's edification. Secondly, it's discipleship. Edify also means to instruct, improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. It means being spurred on in the faith, being spurred on in life. And I'm going to talk about this more in just a moment. I quote this often. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't neglect the gathering together of the saints. However, do we look at the verse preceding it? And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Why should you join a church? So that you might be stirred up in the faith and to do good works. You might be spurred on. In other words, what we're talking about here is investing in one another. Mark Devers says, This battle against our wrong individualism will help us to realize the corporate nature of Christianity. We cannot live the Christian life alone. We will fall to temptation. We will fall to the schemes of the devil. It's not if, it is when. Now, I know people tell me that they worship God in their own way. If that doesn't include the church, then you have a misunderstanding of the Christian faith. And you might not be worshiping the one true God. If Jesus Christ shed his blood for the church and is the head of the church, if you say you love Jesus, but you don't love the church, I am saying to you, you need to rethink that. Because if you don't love the church, I am saying to you, you do not love Jesus. Because he died for the church. He shed his blood for it. We are his kingdom. Sorry, got a little stirred up there. That was later on in the sermon. Edification, protection. The church is a covering. It protects us against falsehood. As I said, I think I keep repeating in the Sunday school class because they heard half the sermon. When we walk in to this building, worldliness is clinging to us. And we need to be sanctified by the truth. We need to be washed with the word of God so that we can go back out and deal with the false philosophies and teachings of the world. We need to be reminded of the truth. Accountability, edification, protection, they work together to prevent us from falling into sin. It is Proverbs 16:18 that says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The regular teaching and preaching of God's word keeps us sober-minded and firm in the faith. So that you're not too worried, I'm going to move rapidly to the next point. Evangelization, why join a church? We come together for world evangelization. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Notice the words disciples. We can do more together to take the gospel to others than we can apart. That is why we joined the Southern Baptist Convention and the cooperative program, is so that we can assist and work together with other churches to put missionaries on the field, both in North America and abroad. We can do more together than we can apart. As Christians, we need to understand that we cannot do this alone. We need co-laborers. Paul had co-laborers in the faith. People work together so that the gospel got to you, right? In order for you to have heard the gospel, others had to work together to get the gospel to you. In fact, you are a beneficiary of the very first disciples who worked together to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is what we are to be about. We are a missionary organization. Why join a church? Because you want somebody to hear the gospel. You join a church because you are the beneficiary of others who brought the gospel to you. You want no one to die not having heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't want anyone to go to hell without first hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. When we stop being a missionary organization, then we have lost our understanding of what it means to be the church, and we might as well decide to close the doors. We exist to worship God, and then we go out and we tell others about Jesus. That is the Great Commission. That is why you join a church. We are more innovative and successful together than apart. Lastly, obedience. Why join a church? Because God is telling you that's obedience. Remember, I said that Jesus is the head of the church in Colossians chapter 1. Verses 18 through 20, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. Remind me again. You say you love Jesus, but you don't love the church. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. He went to the cross to establish his church. Now, do not get me wrong. I understand. I want you to know that I'm empathetic, that if you've been a part of a church and you've been burned by a church, listen, I want this to be a place of healing. But there is no perfect church. Do we understand that? And you need to understand that if it is a perfect church and you walk through those doors, then it's an imperfect church from that point forward, because we are all sinners, right? I mean, even your pastor sins occasionally. Did I hear a chuckle from my family on the front row? I do not appreciate that. Committing to the local church is necessary to fulfill our obedience and sanctification. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Those are the reasons to join a church. Well, what are the responsibilities of a church member? Now, we are meeting here in the Family Life Center. For those on Facebook Live that don't know, we're not in our regular sanctuary. In our regular sanctuary, we have hymnals. I thank God that you do not have a hymnal that you can throw at me in this portion of my sermon. We may not have any members left after today. Deacons, you might want to go ahead and form a search committee, because I'm going to talk about the responsibilities of a church member. Number one, attendance. Now, here's where we have got to come to some understanding of what it means to be a regular attender of the church. How would you define it? What does it mean to be an active member? Does it mean you are active if you attend a few times a year, once a month? What is our definition of church membership and its requirements? Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake the gathering together of the saints. I've already referenced that. It is the public gathering of believers. If you believe the church is corporate in its nature, then attendance is essential. So here's my stance. At the minimum, unless there are extenuating circumstances, of course, this does not apply to the homebound and sick. I can't give you all of the exception clauses here. I understand COVID. I understand its issues. I know that it's changed the world for the past year. So don't hold me to the fire saying the pastor said this and there are people who are homebound who can't be here. How inconsiderate he is and unloving that he is. Please understand, I know the exceptions. At the minimum, unless there are extenuating circumstances, I believe that the responsibility of a member is to attend at least one worship service weekly. Boy, I didn't get any amens on that one, did I? We have multiple worship services. Wednesday, Sunday morning, got Sunday school. Well, Pastor, what about vacation? Well, everybody needs a vacation. Sometimes when you're on vacation, you can't find a place of worship wherever you are. Sometimes Jerry and I have gone on vacation and we've gone to a place of worship and we've regretted that we went to that place of worship because it was awful. Not biblical. So she got tired of me trying to pick out. Listen, we went to one church on vacation. I was like, man, this looks pretty good online. So we get in. I got to tell you, this is not even my sermon, so it's going to make it longer. All right? We get in there. No one speaks to us. We are, was it in a mall building? is in a mall, like one of those, you know, spaces in a mall, a strip mall. So we go in there. No one greets us. We're walked into this dark place. They shut the doors behind us. I'm looking for a way out because I think I'm in a cult. There's us and about, what, 10 other people? I swore I thought I heard them lock the door. So I'm already looking for an, okay. We were like, Jerry's like, you can't pick out any more churches that we're going to attend. And I said, I understand. Even the kids were a little wigged out. Do y'all remember that one? Yeah. The pastor was not there because he was having a nervous breakdown. I don't want to make fun of that. The associate pastor was in there, and he said, we need to pray for him. He's having a nervous breakdown. Just public. And I was like, okay. This is a rough place. There can be some rough churches, but Jesus still loves his church. I believe that vacations, you need those. But personally, I believe in order to grow in Christ and meet all the other responsibilities of a church member, as I will discuss, requires attendance. It requires to be active in attending. It includes additional attendance at the ministries of the church or the outreach events of the church. I mean, what does it say to guests and unbelievers if they walk into our service and it is not well attended? What does it say to guests and outsiders when we have ministry events and it's not well attended by the members of the church? If I were a guest and I came to church or a ministry event at the church and it was not well attended, I would assume that the church membership did not care. Attendance means we care. This is your church. It's not, yes, I understand, God's church, Jesus' church, but you need to take ownership in your church. You're members of it. We do what we want and care about, and we will give time and energy to do the things that we enjoy. Do you enjoy this church? Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy me? Absolutely you do. No. This is real questions that we must answer. A requirement is attendance. If you attend a handful of times out of a year and you call yourself a member of this church, then you have a lack of understanding of what membership is. You do realize that there are clubs and organizations that require your attendance at meetings, and if you don't attend, then you're removed from the club. You do realize that in the Bible, Matthew chapter 18 and church discipline allows us to remove people from membership of the church. One of the reasons we can do that is lack of attendance. Now, we have not done that. I'm not saying that we're going to start this on Monday, but you need to have an understanding of what membership is. If we want this church to grow spiritually and numerically, we must be faithful to the Lord and faithful to each other. Don't just put it at the pastor's feet that it's his responsibility to grow the church. There are some churches where Moses and Elijah couldn't get people to come. You have a personal responsibility. I cannot fulfill that personal responsibility for you. Ordinances. What are the responsibilities of a church member? I discussed baptism last week. This is the one thing I want to say on baptism. Not only are you to be a baptized believer, but as members of this church, you need to engage and be active in the practice of that ordinance when others are being baptized. There's two ordinances to the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. If the church does not observe those two things, then it's no longer a church. So just because it's not your family member being baptized, when we have a baptism, it ought to be a packed house. Because that is that person saying to you, I want to join your fellowship. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You as a member have a responsibility to be there to support that person, to see that person's testimony, and to bring them into the fellowship of the church. I've got a lot of motions going on today. No. The Lord's Supper, it is our duty to make sure we as baptized believers and members are present at the Lord's Supper. Now, I know we've been kind of messed up on the Lord's Supper and the observance of the ordinances. And we've given you styrofoam bread and little juice. I don't know how old it is. All right. I don't know. We're getting it out of dumpsters and everywhere else. We're just giving it to you. You know, bless it. Go. Listen. I know we've been a little irregular in our observance of that ordinance. Let me make it abundantly clear. When we announce that we're having the Lord's Supper, that should not be something that is optional for you. You should make every effort to participate in that ordinance. I don't know. Do you think that as Baptists using language like symbolic has led people to unintentionally believe that these ordinances are not important? We say that baptism is symbolic in that it represents our spiritual resurrection. We are buried in the likeness of Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord's Supper, it is a representation or symbolic of His blood and body that was shed. We do this in remembrance of Him. We rejoice in Him. But we use that word symbolic. Does it... Has some of you fallen into the trap of believing that these things are optional? Listen to what Mark Dever said, referencing 100 years ago. And in many churches, to be absent from communion without a clear excuse was sufficient grounds for someone to be excluded from the membership of the church. That's how serious communion was. We are so flippant in our practices today. I know you're just excited that I'm going to keep going on. Give. I am not going to spend much time on this because you can go back and watch me on Facebook Live or on the website when I preached, "Are You Robbing God?" And I have had people comment to me, not inside the church. What has been interesting is outside of the church, those who have viewed this Facebook Live sermon saying, "I did not realize how many ways I was robbing God." You are to give to the Lord, to the work of the ministry of this church. Some say the Old Testament teaches tithing 10%. The New Testament does not. Therefore, pastors should not preach that you are to give at least 10%. Well, I'm going to say to you this. You ought to want me to preach that you are to only give 10% because the New Testament has a higher standard. It's sacrificial. Go and read the widow's mite in Luke chapter 21 where God commends her for giving everything that she had. We also have the standard of being a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I know that there are so many, quote-unquote, ministries out there that take advantage of people and their financial offerings. I don't want you to use TV evangelists as an excuse not to give to your local church. No, I am not buying a private jet airplane with the tithes that you are giving. No, I do not live in a multi-million dollar home. The work of the ministry is not about getting wealthy. It is about serving the Lord. Those who are using it as a means in order to get wealthy will stand before God and His judgment. So don't use that as an excuse. Yes, we can make jokes about Baptist preachers being money hungry. I take it well. I just read an illustration about a farmer who called the office of the minister asking to see the head hog at the trough. The receptionist said, "Sir, if you're talking about our beloved minister," which I hope Donna answers the phone that way, "you may call him reverend or pastor, but I don't think it would be proper to refer to him as the head hog at the trough." "Well, all right," the farmer said. "I just sold a few sows, and I was going to donate $10,000 to the building fund, so I was hoping to catch you." "Oh, just a minute, sir," the receptionist said. "I think I heard the little porker just come in." Okay. Come on, that's pretty good, right? Cornelius, the Gentile convert, is recognized as a devout man who gave alms generously to the people. Giving is tied to genuineness of faith. This teaching is not made up by Baptist ministers. I have other things to say here, but I must move on. I want you to know that COVID has been difficult for us as a church over the past year. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we have been behind in budget giving. Yes, God has blessed us with reserves that we could call upon to use. But did you know that the church was in a spending freeze over the past year because we did not have the resources coming in to just be freely spending? Did you realize that your staff received no raise last year in order to serve the church? That includes our church secretary. Folks, we're not getting independently wealthy here. This is about God's work. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." Give. Serve. What is the responsibility of a church member? A responsibility is to serve God and to serve others in ministries in the church and to serve outside of the church, reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your primary mission field is your home, your workplace, your neighborhood. But in the church, we do have ministries, and we need people to serve in those ministries. Next Sunday, when you walk in your chair will be a list of jobs, ministry jobs, that are needing to be filled here at Gum Springs, or these ministries go away. A select few can't do all of the work, folks. You get burned out. And then there's this philosophy, I believe, that, well, we've hired the pastor, we've hired this to do the work of the ministry. Listen. You have a responsibility to participate in the labors of the Lord. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 1:5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. 2 Corinthians 8:23, as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. Service is not passive, it is active. So you're going to have a jobs list in your chair next Sunday. And guess what? There's going to be sign-up sheets on the counter over here. I'm not going to beg you. I had somebody tell me this week that God has already called the people. It's that the people are not being obedient. You need to be obedient. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do not be slothful in zeal, Paul says in Romans 12:11, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Believe it or not, I do have a vision for the church. It's not just totally random the way I get up here and do things or the way I lead the church. I know many of you are thinking that. I have a pastoral vision statement that I will share with you in its fullness at some point. But I want to read just a portion of it. I envision a church where members take ownership in the church and desire the advancement of God's kingdom and the making of disciples of Jesus Christ through worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship, and ministry. That's just one statement. I envision a church that helps the poor and needy physically and spiritually in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The third statement that I'll share with you, I envision a church that enjoys God and serves Him with gladness. Do you know, I should never have to stand up here and call for volunteers. I should have more than I know what to do with and people willing to serve. Pray about it. That's the last thing. You want to know what your requirement is as a church member? It's to pray. And so those of you who are saying, well, I'm not physically able to participate in some of these ministries, I think you can pray. You can pray for me. You can pray for the leadership of the church. You can take your church membership list, and when we get bulletins back, you can take the prayer list, and you can pray for people. We're already sending out the prayer list to those of you who have email. You can download that, pray for people. Church membership, there's a requirement of prayer. I've often wondered why the prayer meeting of the church is attended less than this gathering on Sunday morning. We ought to be a praying church. But I believe once again, that individualism has overtaken the corporate nature of the church, and we no longer see the need to come together as God's people and pray together. I also believe prayer suffers because we are a wealthy nation full of materialism. We do not see our need for God. If we didn't know when our next meal was going to come, I believe we'd be praying the Lord's Prayer, right? For our daily bread. Listen to what the early church did. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So I've got to stop. I think I've been at it for about 40 minutes here. I told you it was going to be a long one. But I'm not quite done. Church membership is about commitment. And we're living in a non-committal society. Commit your ways to the Lord, the Bible tells us. God is calling you to commit your life to Him. He is calling you to commit your life to Jesus Christ, to repent and believe. And once having committed your life to Jesus Christ, that means that you are also committing yourself. You are laying down your life, and you're taking up the cross, and you are following Him. When you commit your ways to the Lord, when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, you're also committing to His church. No, you don't worship the church. You worship God. But do you know, I don't know if this is hitting home with you. Look around you. This is God's kingdom here on earth. And if you don't love God's kingdom here on earth, what makes you think you're going to love God's kingdom when He comes back and we are with Him for all of eternity? God is calling you today, unbeliever, to come to Him. Commit. Surrender your life. He is saying to you who are a believer and have not become a member of any local church here recently, He is calling you forth. Don't doubt that. He is saying you need to commit yourself to a local church. Maybe it's not here at Gum Springs. Go and find you a church that you can commit yourself to. But He's definitely calling you to that commitment. And for the believers here who are church members, God is calling you to renew your commitment today. Now, whether you respond to that call is between you and God. I can't make that commitment for you. But make no mistake about it. God is speaking directly to you today. Not to somebody else. Stop being convicted for somebody else. Oh, I wish somebody was here to hear that message. No, you're here because God wanted you to hear that message today. It's time we become God's church. Will you commit with me? Will you join with me? Will you partner with me? Do you understand that unless something changes 10, 20, 30 years down the road, this church may not exist? You do realize that the primary leadership of the church is growing older. Oh, thank you, buddy. Hey, that's my nephew. He already just said the leadership of this church is old. We need younger people to step up. Hey, don't ever be embarrassed, Luke. At least you gave me some feedback. And you're not even an attender here. You're just spending the night with me. Commit today. And let us see what God can do here at Gum Springs for His glory. I don't doubt that He can build this church. Do you? It's time to be a church member. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we come to the close of this sermon, it is a time of response. Lord, your word has gone forth. I believe in your word. Lord, I know that we are just sojourners on this earth here temporarily. But Lord, enable us, empower us to live for your glory. Let us stop wasting time. Let us stop making excuses. Forgive us, Lord, for being deceived by the world instead of resting in your truth. Today, Lord, do your work, build your church. You have sent out your message. You are calling people forth. Now, Lord, I look forward to how people are going to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be here just right off the platform. If you want to pray, talk to me. But come today. Commit your ways to the Lord. Surrender your life.